Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in the studio, the deplorable Ipsy Ed Bondurant.
Yes, deplorable, yes. Yeah, that music gives you a Pavlovian response. You know you're going to
get a good show.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show. And we've got a special guest in with us today, local filmmaker, Nick Stumphauser. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good.
I threw you off. You didn't finish the show intro. I didn't get to do my news. Sorry.
So what we do every Saturday on The Drift is we go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should. It's
the news you need to know.
It's just like that, dude. I'm a professional. Never worry when you're in here with Gary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Smooth sailing. Even when I screw up, it's smooth sailing.
Yeah. Right? Well, good recovery. Like nobody would know.
Yeah, so welcome to the show, and if you want to call into the show, not the first half, second half of the show you can call in. But you can also email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. Send me your comments, and I can read them on air if you want, or whatever you need to do. So, well, Nick, we're going to give you – you're going to stay with us, I hope, the whole hour.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk politics after.
Wonderful.
I'm excited because you're young. Want to tell people your age? Are you ashamed of your age?
No, that's fine. I turned 20 last month.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you walked in the door, and I went, oh, you look younger than – then you look on your website and stuff.
What an overachiever.
He's an overachiever.
I'm ashamed.
I'm looking at the Film Critic Award stuff, and I'm like, this dude must be, I think it's my age, 40s, 50s.
He looks young for 40, doesn't he?
That's what I was thinking. So I was like, oh, you must be Nick Cudd.
It's coconut oil on the face. makes you look younger.
Fractured coconut oil. A little doTERRA action. Yes, exactly. So what's kind of brought you to us is your new movie that's coming out, and it's the movie that you're premiering what day?
October 27th at 1 p.m. It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday, and our own Theron is going to premiere host it for us.
Yeah, right? So Theron's going to be hosting the evening, and he's actually in the movie.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's what got me excited. So Ed had kind of worked this out, and I didn't know a whole lot about what was going on. And I saw the trailer, and the trailer is like super, like you'd see at the theater, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
You mean like professional?
Was this professional? And this morning I watched one of your short films here that's on your website and went, oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. So you're not just local Billy Bob throwing film. These are real films.
Yeah, well, this is my first feature length.
Yeah.
You know, so I did a short film that was 9 minutes and then 16, and then I kind of just plugged my nose and dove right in and went for a feature while I was still at film school.
Okay.
So did you do those in 8mm or 16mm?
Yes. No. No. Both were shot digitally. All three films were shot digitally. I'm a fan of celluloid. Unfortunately, for someone in my position in the career, it's just cost prohibitive.
Oh, heck yeah.
Is it that much better, celluloid?
I love celluloid.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, well,
it's
you can play tricks with it, but it's like vinyl versus CD.
That's exactly what it is.
It's
you've got that one guy in the audience who pushes up his glasses.
If you like tape this, go for the... Yeah.
Yeah.
So the name of this film, like kind of... when I first heard it, I was like, ooh, that's pretty risqué, I guess.
Yeah, well, I had told Nick, I'm not sure I want to put that in the newspaper with that title.
Right,
because I get enough calls as it is.
Well, you know what? The disgusting part is, how PC have we become? That we're afraid to talk about a film. And this is a good film because it's letting people know what happened. And I'll say, How to Kill 14 People Without Saying a Word is the name of the film.
and it's
a documentary of the San Bernardino shooting, right?
That's where it starts, And I love watching people's faces because it's a long title. So as I'm in the first half of it, their eyes widen. And then I finish the title and their blood pressure goes back down.
Sounds like a Quentin Tarantino film, you know?
Yes. How to Kill 14 People Without Saying a Word. And it immediately got my attention, and the trailer is awesome.
Thank you so much.
If I'd had more time this morning, I think I would have clicked the button and bought it and watched it on the spot.
Wonderful.
I didn't have enough time, unfortunately, today. Knowing that you're coming on, I'll do it this afternoon or tomorrow.
Maybe. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All right, so can you tell me, I know you're young and doing and don't have all the finances of Hollywood.
Yeah.
What was your budget?
Budget was $4,000.
Wow!
Yeah.
So you can put together a feature-length documentary film for $4,000.
Well, let me give you some reference on that. I think Fahrenheit 9/11, not 11/9, not Michael Moore's new film that also tanked, but the original one that made $326 million, that was funded by the Weinstein brothers, and he had something like $9 million for his opening. And something I think a lot of people don't understand is every time you see a news clip go across the screen, they paid about $3,000 for every 30 seconds of that news clip. So I had to physically hop on a plane and travel to these places and actually get down on the ground, get dirty, and film the riots and the protests and the interviews in person because I could not afford to just go on CNN and pay their licensing fees. So this is most of this footage is stuff that I actually filmed myself.
And you own it then.
Obviously. Yeah, I own the footage. This is a Spirit Airlines and Chipotle fueled documentary. So
Chipotle. That's cool. It's authentic.
Yeah.
I like Chipotle because, you know, I was at work the other day and someone catered in, right? And there was the Chipotle left over in the kitchen cafeteria. And Gary's like, it's not in my budget for calories today, but Chipotle
isn't that living dangerously eating Chipotle, or is that okay now?
It's okay.
Okay.
Don't ruin my day.
Sorry. Well, Nick has survived, so
yeah, I survived.
I made a movie off of it.
Yeah,
it's pretty safe to me. Chipotle stands for free speech, whether or not they know it.
Awesome.
So, okay. How'd you get into? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
How'd you get into filmmaking?
Well, ironically enough, I've also been a magician for 11 years, and to me,
Pastor Rick's going to hit you up about that.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful! So I've been doing film and magic kind of at the same time for about the last 11 years since I was around 9 or 10 years old, and I always had a passion for both, but I also always thought they were the same thing. And I had never intended on making a documentary, never in my life. I had always wanted to make narrative films, stories, you know, the Batmans, the Footlooses, the stuff you go see on the weekends at MJR. But when I first met Milo Yiannopoulos and I delivered a forensic speech that I gave to him, and he told me I had talent, he invited me out to California to finish his tour that he was giving with Breitbart. And when I experienced Berkeley for the first time, you know, like the infamous February 1st night of Berkeley, where Antifa marched in and burned, you know, the entire campus down. Again, I had never considered making a documentary until that night, and I realized, you know, I'm a filmmaker, and I'm seeing this happen, and there's a story here, and I want to tell it. And so,
how did you meet Miley?
I met Milo when I...
I said Miley.
I met Miley Cyrus when...
Way different!
No. He came to Michigan State University in 2016, and a friend of mine, I guess, had met him prior to that, and arranged a connection. And I filmed some footage of the protesters that ended up being used in a story by Breitbart. And in the process of giving Breitbart the footage, I was able to meet Milo, spent the evening with him, and delivered this speech that I gave back in high school about freedom of speech. And he said, "You have talent. That is a, you know, that's a killer speech. Why don't you come to California and finish off the tour?"
Can you give us that speech right now?
I have a lot of it memorized if you want it, but it's 10 minutes of Nick monologuing.
Another show.
We'll do that on another. Well, I love Milo, but he seems like he's disappeared.
He has. He has dropped off the radar, and I think that he had his moment. He had his fame, and I'm seeing the same thing happen with Jordan Peterson right now, too.
Yeah.
You know, they have their 15 months, their 18 months, and then they're gone. And Milo had even a longer stretch than that. He had about 2 years where he just skyrocketed. And then after the pedophilia comments on the podcast came out, he kind of just fizzled out into...
Yeah, and for those listeners of the show, our audience is obviously a lot of times older. They may not know who Milo is because they're not in. And Milo is openly gay, conservative, kind of alt-rightish guy.
Very flamboyant.
We've done shows on the alt-right, so I don't want to... They're not neo-Nazis, folks.
Yep.
Alt-right is a giant spectrum of people who aren't your conservative rhino Republicans, right? That's the way I look at it. I consider myself a little on the alt-right side, frankly, and if somebody wants to yell at me about it, on you.
Yeah.
That's the way I am. So it's cool that you got to meet him, because I would have always liked to meet him.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was provocative. He was in your face. And
intelligent.
Unapologetic about being a conservative.
That's definitely.
Simple. You know what I mean? And that's, I think, to the point, which, as we get back, is a good segue back to your movie.
Right.
Stop being so politically correct. Hurting people. You don't have a right in this country not to have your feelings hurt. Sorry, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. So tell us a little bit more about the film. So
sure.
You start out with San Bernardino?
Yeah, so that's the sort of jumping, that's the bookend for the film, because if you don't know the story, in 2015, Saeed Rizwan Farooq and his wife Tashfeen Malik had been preparing pipe bombs and stockpiling ammunition in San Bernardino. And they worked at the Inland Regional Center, which was a center for developmental disabilities, actually. So this is a place where people with developmental disabilities go for, you know, occupational therapy. And the neighbors of these two Islamic terrorists knew something was going on, and they felt like if they expressed their fears to the police or to the FBI that they would be called racist and
don't give away the ending.
racist or Islamophobes. And so they didn't say anything. And I remember hearing about this shortly after it happened back in 2015. And when it came out that there were neighbors that didn't say anything because they were afraid of being called racist or Islamophobic, that sort of put the seed in my head, and I realized, okay, it's deeper than we want to respect people. It's even deeper than religion. It's not even a question of – I do think that's a very important question of, you know, why is it so heavily weighted towards Islamic terrorism and not Judeo-Christian terrorism. But it's even deeper than that. Why were they afraid? Why couldn't they say something? And so the film starts there, but then it jumps into the connection between that and what we're seeing happen on the universities, mm-hmm. and what we're seeing happen with Antifa, and what we're seeing happen with Kavanaugh. It's all linked. It's what's happening in Parkland. Like, the Parkland shooting is related to these things, and this isn't some Alex Jones conspiracy theory. This is all related to the same fundamental ideology, and that fundamental ideology is that of neo-Marxism, of postmodernism, of socialism and totalitarianism, and it all comes from the same substrate. So the film really jumps a lot deeper than just, you know, hey, you don't deserve to have your feelings protected. It's so much deeper than that.
Yeah.
So PC is a term that actually came from the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, under communism, right? And so basically, to knock it down a bit, or to simplify it, PC kills.
Basically.
Right. So these people weren't speaking because of quote unquote political correctness.
Yeah.
And that has become such a term in our culture now that we don't even remember what the roots are. It's kind of a humor item anymore. You know, that's PC or this, that. And we don't realize how you're pointing out in your movie how deadly that whole mindset can be.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it didn't die. The idea of PC didn't die with the Soviet Union. In fact,
it's being
promulgated right now in the universities.
When I was in the university in Ann Arbor, I remember we used to joke about politically correct, and we knew, and this is in the 70s, and we knew that we were mockingly speaking of the political correctness that was in Russia. It was like, ha, 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 political correctness, you know, comrade. And it's a real thing.
It is. Yeah, it's more than a real thing. And it's also, like I said, I think it's only the tip of the iceberg. I think it's only the symptom of the problem. And the problem is a series or a multifaceted ideology that you're seeing. I was just on University of Michigan's campus a week ago, and they were hanging a giant banner in the Diag. In big bold letters, it says, "Capitalism has failed. Join the socialists."
Ugh.
Dead serious. It wasn't satire. It's that I don't understand the disconnect. But this ideology, this multifaceted ideology, is pervasive, and it's separated by a generation that has no concept of where it came from.
Mm-hmm. PC.
Exactly, the term PC. So they don't. I don't think they recognize what you recognized, which is where it came from and why it's actually relevant and where it comes from.
Yeah, it's amazing, because you know, I had a Facebook argument this week with young friend.
Oh, yeah, son, I remember that.
You ended up seeing it. And the young people of today have no concept. They think they're smarter than the founding fathers. They don't believe that capitalism works. The same people at the University of Michigan, capitalism, paid their parents who paid for their schooling. Hello, it does work. You're here being able to freely protest for the stupidest of all things, socialism, when you can see right down the aisle here in the Caribbean, Venezuela is failing. People are starving to death because you took a beautiful capitalist country and turned it into a communist crap hole. How do they not? Do they not watch the news?
Oh, but that's not socialism.
No, they watch
that's
the not wrong news.
I don't, have you heard that?
It's not real socialism. It's never been right, has it? It's never been done right.
I wonder why. If we do it right, then it'll work.
Is Bernie got the right? I'm gonna claim to be a socialist, but I've got three mansions, one of which I got after Hillary Clinton threw me out of the election, cheated on me, and then I sucked up to her to get another mansion and that ridiculous car that he drives.
Well, they like to tell you Norway did it right, but Norway hasn't done it right. That's not really socialism. That's pretty much America. You know, so we are socialism light. We have Social Security. We have social protection nets. Yeah. But what we're talking about is going to such a degree that, you know, you lose your personal choice. And right now, it's happening. You're losing your personal choice in that you can't say what you want to say. Yeah.
If you go to a college campus and you try to be a conservative speaker, and what happens to you?
Well, I mean, even think about me being able to put this title on the radio.
Or in the newspaper.
Or in the newspapers.
Or on Facebook.
Right? You know, I have people in my documentary who I've waited until yesterday to reveal were in my documentary. I interviewed Richard Spencer, and, you know, he's obviously the one who coined alt-right. And there's a reason why I interviewed him. I interviewed him because if Richard Spencer can't speak, then neither should Cenk Uygur, then neither should Sansara Taylor. You know, if the left is going to speak, the right should be able to speak. And so I believe giving a microphone to everybody. But I had to sit on that until the movie was done and ready to be released because of the response that people get to just words.
Right.
And it's extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do the best we can to help you get this out there because even from my own thought, when Ed first brought it to me, I'm like,
cringe.
That might be a little provocative. But you know what? The show is all about being provocative, so I'm glad you're here.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, I haven't ended up in Facebook jail yet for remarking on it, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows? After the premiere, you might get.
But that's part of it right there, Facebook jail, because of something you said. That's just a symptom of what we're discussing, right?
Yeah.
So you do have a lot of high-profile interviews in this movie, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to see them. There was a couple I didn't even know the face. I'm sure I'll know their names once I watch it. But it looks like an incredible movie. Can't wait to see it. And
I might
go down tonight. I might have to watch it.
Because
I don't know that I can wait until another 2 weeks or a week and a half.
Yeah, you can pre-order it right now. It'll go live on the 28th.
Oh, okay. So you can't see it.
No.
Looks like we're going to the premiere.
Yeah, that's exactly why I did that.
All right, we're going to the premiere.
I'm looking forward to that.
We're in, right? Do I get a discount on my ticket?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Win!
Well, I'm cheap. Not cheap at all.
If the audience goes to howtokill14people.com, the tickets are right there. All the information you can read about the film, see who's in it, you know, how to get tickets, what day, time, trailer, all that good stuff.
And what's our what's the number of people we can get into the Howell Theater out there?
We're coming up on about halfway filled, so it's going to be about a 200-seat theater, and we're coming up on halfway, so people should get their tickets pretty soon here.
Folks, you cannot order tickets until about 20 minutes from now, okay? So I want you to know.
Because he's getting his tickets.
Yes, come I know on. What the heck's
order
wrong
me
with me.
Order me some, too, and I'll
okay.
I swear I'll pay you back. Okay, so the movie comes out. Give us that contact phone number or website again.
Yeah, it's howtokill14, the number 14people.com.
Okay.
You can find me on social media, Nick Stumphauser, Facebook, Instagram.
You've got a great website, nickstumphauser.com. That's STUMPHUZER, stumphauser.com. Nick, NICK.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a good website. You'll go to it and go, oh, that's a beautiful website. So whoever did that for you, did you do it yourself?
I did.
Oh.
I have had to.
Maybe
overachiever.
You need to help me with my website because I'm the old guy.
When you're an indie filmmaker, you wear all the hats. You are the director, producer, writer.
Yeah,
filmmaker. I filmed it. I'll edit.
You did all the mixing and everything
edited,
else.
Is that
all
audio.
Done? electronically, video-wise now? Everything's done on...
it takes months. I got cocky. I thought, you know, give me 6 weeks. I'll get this edited. As soon as I was done filming, just give me 6 weeks. Probably about 4 or 5 months later, I finally... I'm still putting a few more tweaks on it.
Right.
Yeah, it's quote-unquote done, but, you know, the finesses, the little tweaks right before it hits the big screen just to make sure it's perfect.
All right, so have you had any other help? Did anybody say, yeah, let me help you out, or that's a great advice? Anyone you want to thank?
Yeah, oh, boy, there's a huge long list. Something I always say is that the most important part of the film is actually the credits. You know, I obviously have the content of the film, but the people who made it possible, first and foremost, would be my parents. They're the executive producers. So
okay.
I didn't go to university and I decided to go to a trade school they put their trust in me and they said, all right, you know, we're going to give you the money to go make this film. I put in about, you know, a couple thousand of my own money. They put in, you know, the initial four. They had a lot of faith in me and, they've been really supportive. This has been a business experience for me. It's, I feel like I'm going to business school and film school and communications class at the same time, you know, making this film. Obviously the support of my friends and family. And then, just stick around for the end credits. One more person I really want to compliment. And that is, my composer, the guy named Patrick Gauthier. He goes by the name Lighting Nights on Spotify. And, this guy has just been remarkable to work with. I mean, like I'll send him something and within 48 hours, he sends me back, you know, a score.
Yeah. See, that's amazing to me when I think of coming up with new music, cause all the music that runs through my head anytime is something I've heard somewhere.
Yeah.
So when I think of people developing new music, I always think it must be like thinking up a new color.
No, it's unbelievable.
I don't get it, how people can do that.
Excuse me a second.
Yes, sir.
Which of us is hosting the show that day? What time of day is the premiere?
It's at 1 p.m.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to run a best of, Derek.
Or we'll do a live. We'll talk during the movie.
Don't do that.
Oh, no,
either that or we'll pre-record something. We'll figure it out.
For
we
sure.
We can always do a best of. I don't like doing best ofs, but... Or maybe we'll find somebody to fill in for us.
Alex can carry it by himself.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We can probably find somebody. We'll figure it out. But
awesome.
So we'll do that. Well, Derek, how much time we got? Oh, we got 3 minutes. So,
you know, I'd like to say something you said about the credits. When I went to Catholic school, like I was joking earlier, we were talking about math. And the nuns taught me, always sit through the credits. Those are the people that brought you the movie.
Yeah.
Those, of course, back then it was like 20 names. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh.
Edith Head.
Thousands.
You know, a few others. And now it's like, but I've gotten in the habit, my wife and I, sit through the credits.
Yeah,
and I remember
when
we saw Iron Man.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, we're the only two people in the theater sitting through the credits, and all of a sudden, Nick Fury shows up and starts, you know, we're like, oh, holy cow. I start calling my son, my best friend, did you sit through the credits? No, did you know that? And everybody's like, so we went to Red Robin. Pardon me?
Is that why they do it nowadays? The little trailers we get on the end? Is that what
to make you sit through? I tell you what.
I don't know.
I watched Gosnell. Talk about premieres.
Yeah.
Watched Gosnell last night. People, go see Gosnell. Fantastic movie. It is not a downer to see it all. You want to jump up and shout at the end of the movie, and everybody stayed through the credits.
Hmm.
The whole theater stayed through. Nobody got up. It was that good. And they had stuff going on through the credits that you wanted to see. So that's always a good trick right there.
Yeah, well, as a filmmaker, I'm always just, you know, okay, who shot this? Who edited it? Who did the music? Who are the producers?
Right.
It's just, I personally find that interesting. But yeah, I know Marvel now, they hook you with one or two end credit scenes. Yeah.
Or twice.
Yeah.
You know, the halfway through the credits you think it's done. And then it's like, no,
and they keep
stay
going.
Here.
Yeah. Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
All of them did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But you're right. It started with it actually started with the Hulk. The old
really?
It started with
I missed it then.
It started with the Hulk with Edward Norton.
Okay.
And you get Professor X walks in, and I think it was Hugh Jackman, and that was the very, very first one.
Oh, you're right.
And it was short, and there was some profanity, and everyone was really confused, and then turned into what we have now.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's the hard break. You're going to stay with us through the
next half,
and we're going to talk some politics. So we'll see all of you on the other side.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Carol McHugh. He's back in the USA. American pastor Andrew Brunson, held prisoner in Turkey for 2 years, has returned. He's heading straight from Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington to the White House for a meeting with the president.
This is something that the White House has been working on pretty much since President Trump took office. And they've really been waging this escalating pressure campaign against Turkey over the last nearly 2 years in order to secure the release of Pastor Brunson.
Fox's Garrett Tenney, in a tweet this morning, the president stressed that no deal was made in securing Brunson's release. Meanwhile, the president says he'll visit areas of Florida and Georgia heavily impacted by Hurricane Michael. This as the search for survivors drags on.
First responders are conducting door-to-door searches. Local officials say many residents are still unaccounted for, but they believe much of this is due to lack of communication.
Fox's Jonathan Seri in Panama City. The storms killed at least 17. This is Fox News.
When one of your major home appliances stops working, you want someone with experience to fix it. Bill and Joe Henderson at MasterTech have been taking care of people in Ann Arbor and the surrounding communities since 1978. At MasterTech Appliance, they service nearly every appliance make and model. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, ranges, air conditioners, and more. MasterTech handles both residential and commercial work and always solves the problem. Their technicians are friendly, knowledgeable, and on time. Call 734-662-0641. That's 734-662-0641 or toll free 800-663-0331. You can also visit MasterTechAppliance.com online. MasterTech, Federal Boulevard, one block off Stadium near the Ann Arbor Post Office. Service hours daily, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. MasterTech Appliance, technicians who care. Servicing appliances throughout Washtenaw, Livingston, and Western Wayne County.
To recovery and wellness is Wellbridge. Wellbridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All Wellbridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend Wellbridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for Wellbridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, Wellbridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. Wellbridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Hi, I'm Pastor Toma from Our Savior Lutheran School in Heartland. Did you know that our students excel in top-tier achievement testing? That our smaller class sizes allow for each student to get the attention he or she needs? That as a Christian school, we aren't bound by Common Core standards? That our staff works hard to ensure that our students have a biblical worldview? Did you know that Our Savior Lutheran School accomplishes all of this as a tuition-free school? To find out more, visit OurSaviorHeartland.org. Again, that's OurSaviorHeartland.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Shh, I'm listening to the music. Oh, hi. How you doing?
And Nick Stumphauser, staying over.
How you guys doing?
Good, good. Glad to have you aboard. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little politics. And in between, oh yeah, let's take care of a little business before I forget, like, last half hour.
Yes.
Okay, La Casa.
Right now.
La Casa, Compassion, Courage, Hope, 517-548-1350, lacasacenter.org. Spinning Wheels and Dancing Heels. They got their denim and diamonds. This is a great, great event that they do once a year, Saturday, October 13th. That's today, 5:30 to 10 p.m. at the Cross W Ranch out in Howell. That's the Denim and Diamonds event. You kick it up for a good cause. They're raising money. They got some Wild West gambling, barbecue from Block Brewing, wine, beer, spirits, and a cigar bar, music by Carrie Holmes. They're going to have line dancing, live auction, a raffle, and fireworks to end it all at the end of the night there.
So place to be, folks. Go there.
Tickets are $100. So you get to gamble and eat and drink and have a great time for $100. That's $100.
Yeah, but
you're going to spend that at the bar anyway.
You get fireworks.
And you get fireworks. It's a local, independent, nonprofit organization. All proceeds will stay right here at home and help victims of child abuse and interpersonal violence from our community. So La Casa is a great group of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great event, Denim and Diamonds. You can reach them at 517-548-1350. That's 517-548-1350. Or go to lacasacenter.org, LACASACENTER.org. Okay.
Mick, you've done work with La Casa, right?
Yeah, so I often work with a guy, a really great guy named Scott Mixer. He owns Mixer Media, and he does work for La Casa, so you know they're a great group.
Great, great.
Yeah. We've got a call from Gary in Hazel Park, wants to ask you, Nick, about Berkeley.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Gary, what do you got?
Hey, Nick. Hey, when you were there at Berkeley when the riots were going on, was it kind of like a surreal or out-of-body experience for you? Because I remember when I was doing security, and I was just like 15 or 20 guys fighting. It was all in slow motion, and you couldn't get it all in. Was that the same experience you had?
Sort of. I was definitely pretty shook up. You know, heart was pounding, hands were shaking a little bit, but it was also kind of exhilarating at the same time. So I had my camera. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Sproul Plaza and you know, the Martin Luther King Building, but that's where Milo and the crew and myself were. And I had my camera, and I had walked out onto the balcony to film. And this footage is up on YouTube. It's also in the film. And there was thousands of people down below, and they started to recognize myself and a few other people up there. And so they were throwing eggs and rocks and M80s up at us, actually. And so it got to the point where I had to get back inside, or I was going to get, you know, hit with something. And then that's when the fire alarm went off, and we had to be evac'd because they had broken through the glass in the bottom of MLK building, and they had rushed the building, so we had to get out of there. So for me, I wouldn't say it was slow motion. I think I was just pretty scared.
Yeah. Outrageous. What else you got, Gary?
Well, I understand that. I was a non-combatant. Nobody touched me. I had a badge on, so I was not a victim of anything. But thanks for doing what you're doing, and I appreciate your age. You know, we need as many younger people as we can to get involved in this to save the union.
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. I hope to see you at the red carpet.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Gary. Have a good one. Thanks for the call.
See you, Gary. Right,
bye.
Okay, so the violence of the left seems to be getting, frankly, worse from Berkeley. I thought Berkeley might have been like the culmination, right?
We had a lull, and now it's coming back.
And now it's coming back in space.
Well, school's back. It was summer. They all went home, and you know.
Maybe that's what it is.
and here's what bothers me the most. Normally, the leaders would say, hey, in normal society, let's tone it down a bit. Everybody relax, chillax, take a pill, have a drink, whatever. Sit down and relax. But the Democrat Party,
Maxine,
is upping the ante.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's start with the head of the de facto head of the Democratic Party right now, Hillary Clinton. Derek, you got track one ready? This is her answer to the violence that happened with the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength. And you heard how the Republican members, led by Mitch McConnell, the president, really demeaned the confirmation process, insulted and attacked not only...
All right, so stop right there. Stop right there. Is that a Goebbels moment or not?
Well, that's,
she just put everything that she said about the Republicans. That's what you were doing, Hillary. That's what you and the Democrats did. You were the insulting people.
That's Alinsky. It's Alinsky projection. You put it on the people that you are attacking. You put your behavior on them. You look at what happened. It wasn't Mitch McConnell who was standing up in the middle of the whole Kavanaugh hearing and had to be dragged out, and all those other people shouting stuff and yelling. Do you want to talk about civility? I'm sorry. I know which side it started on first.
Absolutely.
I just love the use of the word strength.
Yeah, right?
As though it's some sort of diplomatic thing. The only thing they understand is strength. What they're doing isn't strength.
Yeah,
it's not.
Here's what bothers me so much about Hillary, on top of the hypocrisy there, is the fact that I'll stop and start being civil when you reward me for my bad behavior and give me back control of the House or Senate. Then I'll start being civil. Ask yourself a question. Will she? Or will they double down and then it becomes retribution? This is what we'll do to you now, America, for throwing us under the bus and not choosing us last time around.